You don't have to be a rocket scientist to help realize a mission to Mars. Become an agent of innovation with Invesco QQQ. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to Trailings. I'm Joel Weber.
And I'm Eric Balchunas.
Okay, Eric, it is the end of October, which means we got Halloween coming up. We have it's become a bit of an annual tradition on Trillions where we do the ETF graveyard, which acknowledges all the various ETFs that have closed this year. Are you in a Halloween costume for this episode?
Not really, unless I'm playing like casual guy at his house doing work in a polo shirt.
That sounds like the other 364 days a year. Yeah, psycho, totally.
Any plans for your
Halloween costume? Or your kids more, maybe?
Yeah, my oldest is going to be the Grim Reaper, which is a little dark, but that's what he wants to be. And my youngest is Black Adam, the new rock movie.
Yeah. My guy's still a little undecided. We've got this default costume that he turns to every year, which is an old milk carton. He like gets inside of it. It's amazing. It's like made of foam or something. So we'll see if he's a milk carton or if he comes up with something new.
But by the way, can I just tell a story? My son went to his Halloween dance, and the school is a 6th through 8th grade dance. And some kid walked out dressed as Patrick Bateman from American Psycho. And I'm like, whose parents are letting them watch that? And so one of the parents was like, the kid was like, oh my God, nobody knew who I was except for one other kid. And he's like, well, one of the parents was like, that's more of a reference for our generation. Anyway, that was an unusual costume for a middle school Halloween dance. Good movie.
Anyway, creepy and book. I think if I see that kid at that dance, I go home immediately. Okay, so to walk us through the graveyard, insert scary music here. We've got Katie Greifeld, who's an ETF reporter with Bloomberg News, Athanasios Serafagas and Bloomberg Intelligence, where he's an ETF analyst with Eric, and Todd Rosenbluth, who's now with VettaFi, and looking forward to having him back on the program. This time on Trillions, ETF Graveyard. Todd, Athanasios, Katie, welcome back to Trillions.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to be back.
Excited to be here.
Okay, Athanasios, I want to start with you. You got some numbers for us to tell us, put this all in perspective. How bad is this year's graveyard?
it's not that bad, but I think we have to look at where we're coming from. So normally, in a normal year, it's always been about 2.5 to 1, meaning there's about 2.5 new launches for every closure. That's like the healthy churn ratio for the industry. It got pretty crazy after COVID, like 2020, 2021. So we reached as high as almost 7. So there were 7 new ETFs coming out for every closure. That's the highest, as far back as I've ever seen, that's the highest reading that we've seen in the industry. And I think there's a couple things feeding into it. One was there was a new rule that was passed that just made it a lot easier to launch ETFs for the industry. And then, the market going up, that was a big fueler into all these launches coming out. And then the third thing was retail. After COVID, all the retail investors started jumping into the market. All these thematic launches that were coming out were really tailored towards this audience. But now what's happening is the closure number is starting to pick up. So that 7-to-1 ratio is starting to come back down to earth a little bit. It's still really high by historical standards. I think now it's about 4-to-1, but it's coming down quite a bit from where we were before. But what I think is really interesting is I think there's about 700 ETFs that have come to the market since 2021. That is a lot of, that's like a third of the industry or so that's only come in pretty recently. a lot of those are down, meaning, you know, if you launched in 2021 or even this year, you're down on performance. That's pretty rare because the market's been so good for so long. But a lot of these ETFs have just enjoyed the bull market. So even if you don't have money coming in, your assets were going up. Now you're sort of faced with this new thing that I think issuers haven't been faced with a while, is that performance is down. So a lot of them are facing this really significant like performance headwind that I think is going to force a lot of closures in the future. I'm not trying to be Mr. you know, Grim Reaper here, but I think there's going to be a lot of ETFs that are going to face some pretty difficult conversations with clients. And I don't know if a lot of them are going to be able to stay around for as long as we'd like.
Todd, what happens after that conversation with the clients? What does the liquidation process of an ETF look like?
Well, first, let me level set. ETFs are closing because of lack of demand. So while I hear what Athanasios is saying, and it's a tough conversation, there aren't that many of these tough conversations that are happening. If there were enough clients and that the ETF would survive, even if the fund is performing badly. So this is more of an annoyance to an investor than, and to the handful of investors that are in my opinion. But what happens is the asset manager will liquidate the fund, which means they will sell all of the holdings that they have within the portfolio. If they're tracking the index, then that's easier. If that's one way. If they're actively managed, then they probably have been paring down their exposure heading in to the closure. They're going to settle the other obligations that they have, and then they're going to return the money back to shareholders. So if you've heard that your fund is closing, the best thing for you to probably do is sell on your own terms instead of waiting to the last trading day and then getting what are likely to be cents on the dollar.
I agree with you. I think closure liquidation risk is something to think about, but it's not like you could lose your principal. I think that's an important point. It's annoying. It's probably the perfect word. I think someone compared it to a paper cut. It's not like you're getting your arm chopped off. But now, okay, let's get into things here. So I ran the numbers on this year's dead ETFs. I have nearly 100. Okay, so even though, as Athanasios said, the ratio has come down a little or was favoring the launches, there's still almost 100 ETFs that have decided they can't do it. And so just some quick numbers on these. The average fee of these are 60 basis points, so a little on the expensive side. And a lot of them are not that old. A lot of like ones have launched in past couple of years are closing. It's not like a lot that are over 5 years old. So a lot of young ones here. I think the average lifespan of a dead ETF overall is about three years. So anyway, just some cool points on that. Now we're going to have each of the guests on the show point out a couple. They took a stroll around the graveyard, and they're going to point out a couple that intrigue them and they would like to talk about. And first up is Katie Greifeld.
Yeah, Katie, take us to your headstone. What's the first headstone you found?
I'm going to start with one that's pretty emblematic of what Eric was just talking about, and that is VPOP. It's the Simplify Volt Pop Culture Disruption ETF. And like Eric was saying, this is pretty young. It was launched December 29th, 2020. It closed down in June of this year. This caught my eye because what is a pop culture disruption portfolio? It seems like this was mostly entertainment stocks. I see Spotify in here. I also see some social media names. Also, Tesla. Interesting. But it also caught my eye because we did have a K-pop ETF launch this year. It hasn't done spectacularly well. That K-pop ETF has only taken in about 2 million. But when this ETF left us, VPOP, it had less than $1 million in assets. As you can guess, with that portfolio, it was doing pretty pitifully. Had less than $1 million in assets, down like 56% year to date. I think last year it fell something like 10%. So it was definitely riding the boom that we saw in 2020 and sort of these high flying names, and just unfortunately launched at the worst time. So that's an ETF that we said goodbye to this year.
Yeah, this is an interesting one too. I almost picked this one too, Katie, for the same reasons. I also think Simplify put this out. It's also interesting to watch these issuers. Like Simplify, to me, their brand now, to me, is of a hedge fund type company that does ETFs. This is a thematic ETF. Almost seems like something like Roundhill or Defiance would do. And I think sometimes once you get branded and thought of as a company, it's sometimes tough to go outside of that. But maybe it's good. Maybe they're meant to be that company and not work on themes. But that's another observation from that, is sometimes people go out of their sort of wheelhouse reputation, and it a lot of times doesn't work. Janus did a lot of these theme ETFs back in the day, and a lot of them closed as well.
Yeah, I mean, Simplify's PFIX, you know, the Simplify Interest Rate Hedge ETF, that's an example of a product I think that came out around the same period of time in the last couple of years. And it's typical of what I think of and what the industry probably now thinks of with Simplify as opposed to thematic ETFs.
It definitely doesn't fit their traditional lineup. But just some advice, don't put pop in the name. Pop culture, K-pop, popcorn. Just don't do any of that. Those are gonna close.
They're gonna close. Bold. So you're calling, we're gonna be talking about K-pop this time next year.
Yeah. I actually told Eric I even had the headline for it already. It's when it's gonna be K-flop. That's gonna when this thing closes.
That's brutal.
That's pretty good. Okay.
All right, Todd. So you took a tour of the graveyard. What tombstone did you find that you want to start off with?
Yeah, I'd focus on JP Morgan's U.S. dividend ETF. JDIV is the ticker. And for a couple of reasons, this has been a record year for ETF inflows tied to dividend strategies. I think I was on a prior podcast where we talked about that likely to happen. It now has happened. We're hearing from advisors at Vettify that they're seeking out income alternatives given the rising interest rate environment. JDIV closed with about $60 million in assets. But for perspective, JP Morgan has the JP Morgan Equity Premium Income, JEPI, J-E-P-I, which is a covered call income strategy, owned stocks as well as the income aspect. And it's pulled in $9.5 billion this year. It's now a $13 billion ETF. So you can clearly see JP Morgan focusing on the covered call versions of equity income as opposed to the dividend strategy.
Yeah, this is it's surprising. JP Morgan has closed some ETFs. $60 million for an indie, they'd probably hang around with that money. But JP Morgan, that's like half a cent. So I get this, but yeah, this fund is beating the S&P. It's very moderately priced. The expense ratio is pretty low. So I guess they're just going to focus on some of the other things that are working better.
Athanasios, take us to your scary little corner of the graveyard. What'd you find?
Sure. So the one I picked was FUT, which is the ProShares Managed Futures ETF. You know, I think on the show last week, you guys looked at what ETFs were working this year, and there weren't that many, but one of the ones that were working were managed futures. And it just shows that sometimes ETFs close right before like their moment. And I kind of feel bad for these guys. They've had this thing around since like 2016. And then finally, like, they've been waiting every year for managed futures to work. And this is like the first year that it's actually starting to work, but they closed it in May. So there's like this huge like seller's remorse with this closure. I think it didn't have a lot of money. I think they're tough strategies to sell. They don't work in every environment, but this is one of the only years that they're working. So that one really stuck out to me because you have some competitors that have come in after them and been able to raise like some pretty significant assets. So it's kind of a bummer. It's like, you know, timing matters too. We've seen in the past, sometimes these close before the number's called, but that one really definitely stuck out to me.
If they had stuck it out just a little bit longer, how much longer do you think they would have needed to clock before, you know, they could have been resurrected maybe?
Yeah, I mean, a couple more months. They closed in May, so it was still earlier in the year, but it looked like the managed future stuff really started to take off like in the summer. So we're just talking about a couple months that they probably closed it a little too soon.
That and they also closed a long short equity ETF and alts, which is a combination hedge fund. Alts are doing very well. They're finally having their moment. Why would you close it right before? It's, you know, we've seen this in the past, Joel. We're still trying to find the perfect metaphor for this. When an ETF closes and someone else launches it, we call that the Lazarus list because it's like resurrected. But
like that,
what do you call something that closed or died right before its number came up?
Like, I mean, what's premature?
I guess
premature,
so.
Premature death.
Somebody equated it to walking out of a movie just before it got good or something. I don't know. If anybody who's listening knows the metaphor that's proper for this, we have a list and we're ready to go with it. We just need the right one. And normally I don't lack metaphors. It's my strong spot, but I can't think of one. But anyway, I think that's a great one. And yeah, the alts category finally catching fire, and they have three ETFs that are not going to be around to benefit from that.
Okay, so Eric, you want to be included in this lap before we do a second lap of the graveyard. What did you find on lap one that stuck out to you?
Oh, okay, ready? TEGS. This is the, you haven't heard of this. This is the Trend Aggregation ESG ETF. Okay, so it holds a group of stocks. I think some of the stocks in here are like Netflix, Tesla, NVIDIA, okay, whatever. 1.15% is the fee. I have to wonder, like, who wakes up or who is living in a cave where they would think they could push something out that just holds equities and they don't have a brand name at all, and they're going to charge that amount of money for it. Not to mention, ESG is so overcrowded. There is way too much supply for the demand. And when I talk demand, I don't mean BlackRock's models or the surveys that say there is demand somewhere out there. I'm talking about actual grassroots demand. So I think this fund is going to be as part of a wave of ESG closures that we're going to see. There's a couple in the graveyard this year. I currently have a bet with Todd Rosenbluth, who's luckily going to be able to respond to this. I said, if 19 ESG ETFs close by the end of the year, he owes me another steak dinner. So far, I think we're at 7. So he's probably going to win this one. But it's still, like, I think some people might clean up the last few months of the year, and I could make a run for it. But TEGS is one that stuck out to me.
So I'm going to clarify. I'm going to make sure we get a couple of things on the record for this, and hopefully it makes it into the cut. The way that we do the bet is it actually has to close before the end of the year. And typically it is 4 to 6 weeks an announcement for it. So by the time people are listening to this, they might feel I might be already winning the bet for it. But I'm glad you found the one of 7 ETFs that closed this year that you needed. Let's hope 12 more for your sake come out.
Zing!
This podcast is brought to you by Invesco QQQ. What do all the greatest innovations have in common? Agents. People who participate in progress by supporting cutting-edge ideas. Invesco QQQ is a fund that allows you access to innovators of the NASDAQ 100 all in one fund. So you don't have to be an inventor to help create what's next to come. Anyone can become an agent of innovation with Invesco QQQ. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. There are risks when investing in ETFs, including possible loss of money. ETF risks are similar to those of stocks. Investments in the tech sector are subject to greater risk and more volatility than more diversified investments. The NASDAQ 100 Index comprises the 100 largest non-financial companies on the NASDAQ. You can't invest directly into an index. Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit Invesco.com for a prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully before investing. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Katie, take us on another lap of the graveyard, and what'd you find on this one?
Okay, so I was going to do JDIV as well, so Todd beat me there. I will just say on JDIV, it's interesting that, again, it feels like it was the perfect moment for this ETF. It couldn't quite get there. Eric made the point that it was pretty low price, but it was still 12 basis points. And I mean, Vanguard's VIG, the dividend appreciation ETF, is half that at 6 basis points. So I don't know. It's a well-covered space. I'm going to break the rules on my second lap of the graveyard. As we discussed, this ETF that I'm going to name hasn't actually liquidated yet. It's just been announced. We're talking about the Vanguard U.S. Liquidity Factor ETF. They announced in late September that they were going to liquidate this fund. The ticker, of course, is VFLQ. It liquidates in November. The reason I want to talk about it, though, and I'm glad that I was first to the punch here, is because it's Vanguard's first U.S. ETF to be liquidated, which feels
wow,
pretty monumental. Thank you for that wow. And it just never really caught on. It was opened, what, 2017? Sometime around then? No, 2018. It never really picked up. It had what, like $40 million in assets when they announced this, which is, for a Vanguard ETF, pretty puny. So it just never found its moment. I don't know. Maybe it'll turn into one of these ETFs that closed prematurely, but never got that buzz.
I like it because I had it on my list also, Katie. I was, I guess, going to follow you in that it technically hasn't closed, but who cares? It says it's closing, and the graveyard gets filled up quickly. What's interesting is that they launched this ETF, Vanguard, at the same time that they launched a few other active factor ETFs, and those have caught on. So, you know, Vanguard U.S. Value Factor, VFVA, has $650 million. Value has been out of favor up until this year, but no one else has a liquidity ETF. I think it's a harder term for people to get their arms around as opposed to value and momentum and quality like the other more accepted factors that other providers have.
All right, Todd, as long as you have a microphone, why don't you put your Halloween costume on and give us your second pick.
Oh, so my second pick is HJPX, which is the iShares Currency Heads JPX Nikkei 400. I have to admit, I didn't even know this ETF existed. So yeah, the fact that it's closing I won't miss it. But what's interesting is this is not, you know, the iShares is not exiting the Currency Hedge Japan market. They have a relatively popular one, HEWJ, which is tied to the MSCI index. $335 million. But I flagged this one because the graveyard is littered with currency hedge ETFs that close too quickly. And this may be the last year, hopefully, that we see closures in this regard because currency hedging is working. So the pre-existing one, the one that's going to survive, HEWJ, is outperforming the unhedged version of Japan by over 2,000 basis points. It's down 3% versus down 27%, except no one cares. I know you guys have covered this on ETF IQ as well as I think perhaps on Trillions. People are just not putting money in to currency hedge ETFs. In fact, they're pulling them out of currency hedge ETFs, even though this is the time that it's working. So I guess goodbye or to the ETF I didn't know existed but really should have gotten more money than it did.
There's been a slew of currency hedge ETFs closing because everybody lost their mind in 2013, 2014 because so much money went to this tiny area and it blew up and everybody had to have a currency hedge. And then they started doing half currency hedge this, that, and the other. And they just went way too far. It was like one of those frenzies. And that's why I think the same thing will happen with ESG. Now that people realize, oh, it doesn't always outperform, I think there'll be a culling back of products because everybody's losing their mind a little bit with supply on that. So I agree. I didn't even know this existed. it was just like, I think it just came and went, had no money. Even for iShares, they couldn't sell it. So good one.
Thank you.
Athanasios, what do you got?
I have Trip. TRYP, which is this Sonic Shares, like air, hotels, cruise, all together. I don't know. I have to ask someone smarter than me why, when you saw all the revenge spending, all the travel like last year, why doesn't this thing go up? Like, when do airlines ever perform well? I don't know. Like, given everything that we saw last year, all the airport issues. Anyways, this product only survived like just over a year. Which I was pretty shocked. It was really short. I thought the timing was really good to take advantage of all the travel coming back. And what was interesting about this one, it only launched with a $5 price handle, meaning the ETF only cost like $5 to buy it, which is like the lowest I've ever seen. So they were going really heavy towards retail. And I think it also just signifies that maybe with some of the other closures in here too, that maybe this is sort of the end of like the retail buying stuff, that maybe they're sort of fatigued and a little bit tired of chasing some of these names. But that one really stuck out to me and just how short-lived it was for such a very interesting package trade together with all the three main, you know, travel things all bunched up together.
I'm shocked. Shocked.
I was hoping Trip would be like a psychedelic ETF. So yes. Maybe someone else will take that ticker and...
Especially with the Y. TRYP. It's like, it's not your normal trip. It's going to be a little different.
Yeah. It's a funky trip. So I have hope for that ticker. Someone should lock that down. Not that those ETFs have done so great.
All right, Eric, you dug through the graveyard. What'd you find on this second lap?
So speaking of the lifespan and tragically short lifespans, the Life Goal Vacation Investment ETF, Sunny, and the Life Goal Children Investment ETF, Child, CHLD, these were like a pair. And they were only 5 months old before they threw in the towel. And this is an interesting concept. What this company was trying to do was to say, let's put the name of the thing you're trying to save for in the name, and we'll do asset allocation based on that. These used to be called like conservative allocation, moderate allocation, and aggressive allocation, like target date kind of. They're like, well, let's put the thing you're actually doing. So you're saving for vacation, buy this. It just flopped. And part of the reason for that, and I think this is ETFs that go across asset classes and try to do that work for you, they just never catch on that much. And I think part of the reason is that advisors are such a big part of the ETF world, and they want to be that. So people will either use a target date fund in the 401k plan, so they don't need it, or they'll use an advisor who's going to do that asset allocation for them and talk them through these life goals. But it was an interesting experiment to try to rethink how an ETF could be marketed. And tragically short life.
You know, it's interesting. You know, those are two of the younger ones. I had flagged one of mine is, I think, the oldest on the list, which was the ProShare Short Oil and Gas, which goes back to 2008, which I'm pretty sure that was the oldest ETF on this year's list. What do you make of that one, Eric? The ticker was DDG.
Let me just hold on.
Oh, you get to actually do homework on this? You have to just answer off the cuff.
Well, I'm trying to give an educated answer here, okay? Look, DDG down 57% since coming out. But look, if you're short oil and gas, that was a good trade for a while. But yeah, nobody cared. Interesting that something could be open that long with just no interest. I think they just got... I'd have to look. Are there other leveraged oil ETFs that just sort of...
There were products that closed when we had the oil, initial oil spike in 2020. You know, the if you were short oil the last couple of years,
not a good time to be short.
I will say, this one, it's almost sadder when they live a long life and they're just completely ignored. It's like Kafka or something where, like no friends and dies young.
I was in the retirement home. You didn't come visit me. It's like, it's really sad.
This podcast is brought to you by Invesco QQQ. What do all the greatest innovations have in common? Agents, people who participate in progress by supporting cutting-edge ideas. Invesco QQQ is a fund that allows you access to innovators of the NASDAQ 100 all in one fund. So you don't have to be an inventor to help create what's next to come. Anyone can become an agent of innovation with Invesco QQQ. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. There are risks when investing in ETFs, including possible loss of money. ETF risks are similar to those of stocks. Investments in the tech sector are subject to greater risk and more volatility than more diversified investments. The NASDAQ 100 Index comprises the 100 largest non-financial companies on the NASDAQ. You can't invest directly into an index. Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit Invesco.com for a prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully before investing. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Okay, Katie, as we do this last round, I've got some other questions I want to ask. So before we get your final ETF, what's been your best Halloween costume ever?
You know, I'm just a cat every single year.
The same cat or different ones?
Usually the same cat, because I have these specific heels that work with the costume. So that's not exciting.
Don't change it. Yeah.
Before
okay,
I was a
great.
Cat, I was a cowgirl, like in middle school. That was my go-to. This isn't a good answer.
I appreciate
no, no, no,
the consistency,
no, no.
though.
Listen, anybody who follows you on Twitter, that is just so on brand, though. Like,
yeah.
And going right back to the costume year after year is yeah. interesting.
And, you know, brand cohesion and consistency is super important to that point, Eric. So thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, like the Simplify situation that we just went over. You don't want to get too crazy away from the Katie thing.
I don't want to get liquidated.
Okay, Katie, what was your last ETF that you picked?
This is a good one. This is a doubleheader. So there were two SPAC ETFs that were liquidated
Ooh,
over the summer.
Good.
You have the Defiance Next Gen SPAC Derived ETF and then the Morgan Creek Exos SPAC Originated ETF. Both of them, we said goodbye to them over the summer, which is really just a sign of the times. SPACs were hot, then they were extremely not hot, and they died. So,
Eric, do you expect more of these? More closures?
Of SPAC ETFs? There's only like a couple left, and the one that was the big one was SPCX. That's the I forget who put that out. That one has 30 million only. Yeah, possibly. SPACs were just a tiny little window of time. I also think the FPX is the IPO ETF, and I believe that now incorporates SPACs. So my guess is that SPACs will just sort of be part of the IPO ETFs that are pretty legitimate. I think that's what we'll probably find going forward. So they'll be part of the ETF world, but I don't think SPAC-specific ETFs have a bright future.
The thing I liked about the SPAC ETFs was that SPAC rhymes with a lot of things or sounds similar to a lot of other words, such as SPAC attack, SPAC splat. If you're in the business of making charts, it was something to look forward to.
Okay, Todd, I want to ask you a personal question, which is, what is the candy that when you were a kid, you got it and then you were like, man, I don't want this, and then you couldn't get rid of it?
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me which one did I like that nobody else really
likes. That was the obvious question, so I want to ask the non-obvious question. What was the thing that you got saddled with that you didn't want?
We used to get Starburst, and you have your favorite flavors behind it, so I don't like I think there's a cherry one, like a darker red one, if my memory is correct on it. Yeah, I don't like that. I like the lemon and the orange ones.
And wow. legit,
if I'm remembering,
like,
it's
not,
been a little while since I think I've had a Starburst, but you'd have it and then you'd unwrap it the first time, and then once you bite into a candy that, like, you then notice you had a dozen of those.
There is a graveyard of pink or of orange and yellow Starbursts in my car. I keep a packet, like a big bag of Starbursts in my car so I can eat them when I drive. I hate those flavors.
So then we should pair up and you give me a ride someplace.
Katie Greifeld just eats Starburst while driving. That's a little weird.
Yeah, specifically red and pink Starburst, and then I sort through all of them, and then I'm left with orange and yellow, and that's when I throw out the bag.
So you kind of wish that they just made like a whole block of like pink ones, and then you could just buy the pink Starburst.
You know, it frustrates my husband, and he's said that, like, why don't we just specifically order you this type? But I like the hunt, you know.
Okay, speaking of the hunt, Todd, back to you. What's your last pick?
Yeah, I liked this when this came out. I thought this was a fun ETF that never caught on, but LOPX, the Direxian Low Price Stock ETF. This came out during when memes and low price stocks were all the rage, not for the right investment reasons, but for the wrong ones, but people were piling into it. This was going to own companies, or did own companies, that were priced between $2 and $5. You know, typically companies don't come out between $2 and $5. But what I liked it is it reminds me of either the movie Better Off Dead, where the kid kept yelling, I want my $2, constantly, and dove on top of a car chasing after John Cusack to be able to get that. Or you could think of it as two-buck Chuck, which I'm sure some of us drank in college when that's all you could afford to drink.
Better Off Dead, by the way, Todd, is one of the more underrated 80s movies. And this is a problem we have on ETF IQ with Matt Miller and myself. We actually throw out really high-level references like Caddyshack or Fletch or something like that. And Katie has a lot of work to do. So I would add Better Off Dead to Katie's list of movies.
it's
that she'll just love. I mean, these are great movies.
It's pretty wild because after every reference, it feels like the both of you look at me expectantly. And it's like, if I didn't get the last three, I'm not going to get this one. But you keep trying. And I like that.
I know. Yeah. Matt and I are exactly the same age. So we had the same childhood pretty much, I think. But anyway, that's a good one, Todd. I think that the $2 one was, there was a lot of ETFs that were sort of born out of the pandemic, whether it was the meme stock craze or it was the hotels and airlines. And, you know, a bunch of them didn't make it. You know, the ETF world is such a lot of opportunism. And like I said, with currency hedge, people just throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and some stuff just doesn't make it. But yeah, this one, I remember tweeting about it when the filing came and I could tell the reaction wasn't that great.
Okay, Athanasios, here's my question for you, which is, I asked Katie, best costume she's ever been. What's the best costume you've ever seen?
Well, maybe because I love this movie a lot, but I saw a couple dressed up as like John Travolta and Uma Thurman, like doing the dancing scene from Pulp Fiction.
That's good.
Just because I love that movie. And I love that scene. Yeah. And they were even like doing the twist on it. It was at this Halloween party and I thought they pulled it off really nicely.
That's a good one. All right. Your last pick.
This one is CTRU, which is from the untouchable Kathy Wood, the ARK transparency ETF, and just show you how tough it is. Even sometimes Kathy Wood has to close ETFs. And I think Eric probably would like this one because it might fall in the ESG bucket maybe. And so it just shows
100%.
That if she can't pull off the ESG, you know, story and selling it, and her whole business is built on transparency and all that. And they're even having a difficult time selling it. So that one I thought was really, really interesting when they shut that one down. It really didn't live that long. I think this was one of the shortest ones we've seen, right? Launched in December 2021 and closed in July. So 7 months or so. So really, really short life. But it's just more interesting that it came from ARK, because really any product she was throwing out there was doing pretty okay on the asset gathering side. So that one definitely stuck out to me.
You got
to
be transparent about your closings too, right?
That's right. It goes two ways.
I actually thought this might be a good shot at making ESG like more hot saucian, where you have a cut, because only had 100 holdings equal weighted. So the vol was going to be jacked up. So it was like transparency or governance, the G mostly, on steroids. And it could be used as a complement to Vanguard, but I didn't work. So I am looking for that. I think we'll have more hot sauce ESG coming out down the road. And I think that has more of a home than the one that tries to take over your core.
All right, Eric, here's my question for you. How do you decide which candy you're going to give out every year?
Oh, good question. I just basically go to Walmart or Target and the bag that's right there. And then I just pick from there. This year,
you're like, it would totally be the low cost. You would do the low cost ETF. That's exactly who you would, what you would do. You do the low cost.
I mean,
cost
I don't sketch out I don't make a blueprint and come up with a battle plan. I just go to the store, whatever's there. I grab a couple of bags. Look, and we're in Philly, and where we live, we don't get a ton of trick-or-treaters and we're out. So what we do is we put the candy in a bowl and just, you know, take one and we put it out there and the kids just come and get it because we're out with the kids trick-or-treating. But I will say the one that I got this year, the candy that I loaded up on, which I think rules, is cookies and cream Hershey things. It's so good. It's like a little vanilla cookies and cream, but it's just such a good
flavor. So you're
going to
keep those?
White chocolate.
You're going to keep those?
Yeah, and Kit Kat, we always get those because my older son likes it. And then we get nothing peanut because my younger son has a peanut allergy. So the Snickers and all that stuff we can't have.
Eric, your final pick from the graveyard?
Yeah, this is boring but interesting for an analyst because it shows how tough the ETF market is. I got the Nationwide Risk-Based U.S. Equity ETF, RBUS. Now, Nationwide closed another one. And this is a big insurance company, right? And they have $130 billion in assets, right? They clearly could have put some money in this. I don't know why they did not. Why would they all meet and the manager gets together with this company and says, yeah, let's launch these ETFs because at the very least we can put our own Nationwide money in there. Why wouldn't they plan that ahead of time? They clearly put them out. Obviously, the marketplace didn't care because it's so brutal. And the own people didn't care. Why? And I don't know what's going on there. Delta Shares are the same thing. Delta Shares is another big insurance company, Transamerica. They have $88 billion. So I think this speaks to two things. If you're one of these big legacy managers and you're not going to come out and be either really cheap or really shiny, you had better bring your own assets. And I'd always say have a meeting beforehand where everybody signs off that, yeah, we're going to put $1 billion into this. Otherwise, it's going to be embarrassing. And so I think these speak to the terradome nature of the market when you've got giant behemoth insurance companies that can't get anything going in these things. Is that too dour of a note to end on?
I fell asleep when you said Nationwide. I stopped listening after that.
It's true. Insurance companies are, this is not the greatest note to end on. So, okay, mine was boring. Let's see if you can spice it up. We haven't asked you to do any, Joel. Give us
okay.
one.
Mine was, I had a couple that I had earmarked for this moment. Fallen Knives ETF with the ticker. They couldn't spell knife, so they did N-I-F-E. I thought that was great, like perfect Halloween shout out for the Fallen Knives ETF.
Yeah, and people must have gotten bloody hands. Oof. Because
I mean, I don't even know what was in that thing.
You know, it's weird. I do not see the holdings. Todd, do you remember what was in this? It was just stocks that were going down, but maybe had good valuations, like bear
yeah,
traps.
Yeah, traps basically, or you know, trying to catch things that might bounce off it. I don't remember the exact criteria, but yeah, again, not many people got hurt in this one. Otherwise, it would have survived.
To try to attract people with something called a falling knife is, they might have want to called it like
yeah, don't catch it.
You know, things that could bounce, not like. Hey, catch this falling knife. Like, that just seems like a, like you're going to get hurt. But
here,
I don't know if the.
So here was the other one. Here was another one that I had flagged, which was, I think it was the best ticker on the list. Shout out for Eric here. Diva. Diva, which was the AGFIQ hedge dividend income ETF. But that, I feel like that ticker, somebody's going to have to come up with something good for Diva.
Wait, you're calling Eric a diva? Is that what I heard?
I mean,
heard?
I'm glad you got it.
He's way worse. It's fine. Okay. Yeah.
That was
one.
Good. There was one other one that I liked, which was the Bud X, the cannabis growth ETF. We hadn't talked about cannabis in here. I thought that was a good one.
Yeah, that's the one I converted like from a mutual fund to an ETF and then still closed, I think.
Yes, yeah, that's a good right. point. Yeah, that was... They couldn't get anything going in the mutual fund side, and then I guess not here either. Bud X sounds
like... I mean,
when
you pass the bud and you still can't get any takers, it's, you know, that's time to put the roach down.
It was a crowded space when this thing came in, and I don't know. Bud X reminds me of, like, just seems like something that if a movie wanted to not pay Budweiser, they would have Bud X as the product in the movie, because it's, like, not a real...
Like the McDowell's version?
Yeah, like McDowell's, yeah, Bud X. Who has a Halloween question for Joel about candy or costumes?
So, Joel, what candy are you going to steal first from your child's bag when they give it to you to hold while they go to the next house?
It's a great question. I don't do it the night of. I wait until like the next day, following week, 2 weeks, and then I start to sort of like squirrel them away. But the Almond Joy category, big fan of the coconut. Mm. So the coconut stuff will slowly disappear.
I'm guessing your son is okay with that. Like, coconut's not like a big hit with kids.
They've got so much candy they don't even notice.
Yeah. I know. I dip in that bag for a long time because we have our candy that wasn't taken and his. And so I call it, my wife makes fun of me, cleansing the palate. I just pop something, one of the Halloween candy after dinner, and I just, my mouth feels better.
Good questions, good answers, good costumes, good candy. Thanks for joining us, Todd, Athanasios, and Katie.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Trillions. Until next time, you can find us on the Bloomberg Terminal, Bloomberg.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you like to listen. We'd love to hear from you. We're on Twitter. I'm at Joel Weber Show. He's at Eric Balchunas. This episode of Trillions was produced by Magnus Hendrickson. Bye.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to help realize a mission to Mars. Become an agent of innovation with Invesco QQQ. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.